Isaiah chapter 58. Going to give just a little bit of review from last week and move right into this week. We've been talking about success in ministry, and that applies to everybody, no matter who you are. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're called to ministry. You are called to ministry. And these people out there that are born again, washed in the blood, filled with God's Holy Spirit, and they say things like, well, you know, I'm not called to ministry. Liar! God has called you to ministry. Maybe different from mine or the person next to you, but God's called you to ministry. And last week we were talking about fasting. And we left off in Isaiah 58. Just to give a real quick review, we talked about the fact that fasting is a way for us to gain control over the desires and lusts of the flesh. And it's our spirit exercising authority and power over the flesh. And we talk about three different types of fastings. One is where a congregation or a group of people willingly choose to fast. It's not something that's been proclaimed, but it's something that is announced, that is available, or something that if you choose to do it, please go ahead and do it. And so the people then, as a congregation or group, maybe not everybody, but just a group fast is, I guess, a good way to put it, chosen fast for a group. Second kind is a proclaimed fast. That's where leadership declares that there will be a fast for a certain period of time, and the group of people, the congregation or whatever, they're supposed to fall in line with that and go along with that fast. The third type is a personal fast. That's where you by yourself choose to fast for whatever reason you would choose. Whatever it is you're seeking direction from God over, whatever type of it could be a stronghold in your life that is connected with a lust or a desire of the flesh. And by exercising that authority of fasting over your flesh, then it helps you to develop your spiritual strength to break that thing off, whatever the other thing might be. Yeah, a lot of people think that fasting is just a way to deal with an eating problem. Well, no, that's not it. I mean, that might be why you're fasting, is to exercise spiritual control over that desire to eat excessively. But that's not it. I mean, it could be anything pertaining to the nature of the flesh. Fasting helps you to gain control over that. And then we discovered that fasting should be a regular part of every Christian's life. Matthew chapter 6, 5 and 16 and Matthew 17, 21 deal with the issues of fasting. And it's not if you fast, but it's when you fast. And then in Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12, this is where we closed off. And in verse 6, it talks about bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppression, and yokes, and talking about the fast that is to break and to loose and to get rid of those things. Well, that's dealing with those yokes and the bondages and so forth in our own life, that we fast to break those things in our own life. Remember when Jesus taught about, you know, how can you take the speck out of your brother's eye when you got the mote in your own eye? Well, how can you minister deliverance to somebody in a particular area unless you've been delivered in that area yourself? You know, if somebody's got a struggle in the area of pornography, well, it's going to be hard for me to pray for you to be delivered from that if I got a stack of Playboys in my garage. So see, it's something to where I need to get those things dealt with in my own life. Fasting helps me to exert spiritual control over those areas to deal with them, to break them away, so that I can be used of God to minister to people. Verse 7 talks about using things that we would have partaken of in our fast to minister to other people. That could be clothing, that could be food, it could be money or whatever. And then also, in verse 7 it says that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Well, that's talking about the revelation of the deep things of your flesh which hinder obedience and fulfilling God's plan. And so many times we think we've got all this stuff in our life dealt with, it's over and finished, and I don't have to worry about that anymore, and then something happens, and all of a sudden there it is again, and you realize, well, I may have cut the top of it off, but there's a root that goes way deep, and I'm going to have to deal with that root. And I'm going to have to get that root removed so that thing doesn't pop up anymore. And then in verse 8, it begins to describe what happens to us, the ultimate reward being the glory of God rising up in us in greater measure. Verse 9, we begin to hear the voice of the Lord. And in verse 11, we gain this understanding of His guidance and His direction.
And then also it says, satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. I want you to know that the world can be going through a terrible time, but you can be receiving the blessings of God. Perfect example. Remember in Egypt before the Israelites came out and plagues would hit Egypt? Yet the area where the Israelites were living didn't get hit. Well, now Egypt's getting wiped out bit by bit, piece by piece. And yet over here, there's nothing happening. The Israelites they're protected. Well, see, you can have that same kind of divine protection in your life. When the economy stinks, you can still be making money. You can have a prosperous business. Everybody else can be, you know, filing bankruptcy, but here you are, and people come to you and say, how in the world are you doing it? He said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. I'll tell you exactly how I'm doing it. And so your bones can be fat. And then also it says, you're going to be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. And a watered garden produces fruit. What that means is that you're going to be producing the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of God's power working on the inside of you. And this includes, look in verse 12, signs and wonders and miracles. You're going to build the old places, raise up foundations of many generations. You're going to be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Or in other words, there will be great ministry coming from you to other people. And that includes signs and wonders and miracles. So fasting tears down a lot of spiritual strongholds in our lives, enabling us to be better used of God. Well, that brings us up to tonight. The last point in this series that we're going to take a look at, and it's the only one that we haven't covered, it's probably one of the most obvious when it comes to success in ministry, success in what God has called you to do, and that's prayer. Now, I like fasting last week. I told you it wasn't going to be a deep teaching on fasting. It was basically going to hit some high points. Same thing tonight with in the issue of prayer. We're going to hit some high points because most of you, as I look at you, I really believe that you're skilled enough in the Word of God. You should be able to dig into some of this, and you'll be able to get more out of this as you get into the Word of God. But prayer is a must for success in ministry. If you don't pray, really, what do you expect? What can you possibly expect? You know, I'd be like having a friendship, and you never talk to the person that you claim is your friend. Then 10 years later, they call you on the phone, or you call them on the phone, and they answer the phone and say, hello. And you say, hey, how you doing? And they say, well, who is this? Well, that's me. Me who? Well, you remember. Don't you remember back when? And they say, no, I don't know who you are, click. Well, they don't recognize your voice. If you don't pray, how in the world can you ever expect to get to the point that you recognize the voice of God? Because what will happen is this. You'll hear a lot of voices. How many times have you been praying and a thought's crossed your mind, and you've wondered, is that God or the devil? Or is it me? Anybody been there? Yeah, we've all been there. Well, the more you pray, the more you get to the point of recognizing just who it is that's talking to you. You begin to recognize the voice of God. And I'll tell you what, that's so important. Because if you don't get to the point to where you recognize the voice of God, man, it's no telling what you'll end up getting involved with. And that's where a lot of cults get started. People start hearing voices, start acting on those voices. Once the devil realizes he can get you to act on his voice, guess what? Man, he's got you. And he'll lead you into all kinds of deception, mess up your life, and then you're the one that we're going to have to be praying for. So prayer is so important to the life of a believer. Success in prayer begins with prayer that's based on God's Word. You can pray a whole lot of stuff, but if you're not praying in line with God's Word, guess what? Well, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I want you to look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now look at verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now notice, there's some people, they'll take a part of this verse out and they'll say, well, you know, Jesus said, ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Well, now, wait a second. He also said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So see, there's a qualifier there. Well, why does he say that? Because you see, if you abide in him and his words abide in you, then guess what? The things you ask are going to be birthed out of the relationship you have with him and the word of his which is in you. And so you'll be asking in line with his word. Over in, we don't have to turn to this, but 1 John 3:22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence. Confidence. This is confidence we have. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now see, again, there are people that will take some of this out and they'll say, well, you know, you lift your petitions, let your petitions be made known, and you'll get it. But he says right here, we know that we what we ask we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And because we ask according to his will. We ask according to his will. People say, well, I just don't know what the will of God is. Well, you could start here, see? Because if you abide in him and his words are abiding in you, then guess what? His will is abiding in you. Now, his will is already abiding in you, but the word brings the revelation of his will. Not just his general will, which is a part of that, but it's also his specific will for you. Specific will for you in your life. That's in you now. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, because, are you born again? Well, uh-huh. Are you washed in the blood? Uh-huh. Is Jesus alive in you? Uh-huh. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Uh-huh. Guess what? God's will is in you now. Do you think the Holy Spirit doesn't know what God's will is for your life? No. The Holy Spirit knows. Holy Spirit's trying to get it into you, see? Get you to understand that. Well, again, that comes, the Word tears down a lot of those mental strongholds that we have that keep us from recognizing what His will is. We'll get into that a little bit more here in just a moment. But we receive what we ask because we ask according to His will, based on the truth of His Word. You're in John chapter 15, look in chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus said, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now this is another passage that people really have butchered big time. Because this verse is true, but you just can't take that verse and say, well, I've got proof right here that all I have to do is ask in Jesus' name, and God's got to do it. As though we can back God into the corner and say, in Jesus' name. And he says, well, I guess I got to do it. They said in Jesus' name. So, I mean, that's what the Word says. Now they got me handcuffed. So I'm going to have to do whatever it is that they want me to do. No, because he's already added some qualifiers to this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can go to the Father and you can ask in my name. Then you're going to get what you ask. Why? Because you'll be asking according to his will. So your prayer has to be based on His Word. But this is interesting. He says, ask in my name. Ask in my name. Why? Why? You ever wondered that? Why ask in His name? Well, because He's the name above all names. Right? That's true. And God's placed everything under His feet. That's true. But why ask in His name? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. God showed this to me this afternoon. It was really neat. Hebrews chapter 3. In fact, I had to write it in after I had already printed out my notes for tonight. I guess God wasn't through. He wanted more added to this. So that's okay, God. You can add as much as you want. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider the apostle and high priest. Consider the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, do you remember what the high priest did in the Old Testament? Remember how that they would bring the sacrifices to the high priest? And the high priest was the one that would offer them up to God. And if there was a spot or a blemish in that sacrifice, God rejected it and he wouldn't receive it. Jesus is the high priest of our profession. The word profession is also confession. He's the high priest of our prayers. When we go to the Father, we ask in Jesus' name because he's the high priest of the thing that we're praying. When we go to the Father, you say, well, I didn't think we had to pray through Jesus. You don't have to pray through Jesus. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. You can go there yourself. But Jesus is still the high priest. That title cannot be taken away from him. And you ask in Jesus' name. So when you go to the Father and you say, Father, I come to you with this petition, this request. I let my request be made known unto you. I'm standing here boldly before your throne of grace. And Father, I'm asking that something, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, what you're saying is, on the basis of my relationship as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, with him being the high priest of my profession, I come to you with this prayer by the authority of Jesus Christ, my high priest. And therefore, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the high priest of my profession, I offer up to you this prayer. Now, what happens is this. The Father has this prayer before him. Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, that doesn't mean he's literally sitting there all the time. That phrase literally means that God has rendered unto him all authority and power. That's what the right hand means. You'll see that sometimes used in the Old Testament about somebody being at the right hand. In fact, I think that phrase was used about Joseph in reference to his relationship with Pharaoh. But nevertheless, Jesus is the authority, the high priest, the power at the right hand. So we go to the Father. Based on the relationship we have with our high priest, we ask in the name of the high priest. The Father looks at the high priest. Now, if we are asking something that is in line with his words, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, it'll be done. If we're asking in line with his word, asking in line with his will, then Jesus, as our high priest, says, yes, I stand in agreement with this prayer as the high priest of this profession, of this prayer. I stand in agreement with this because this is my word. These are the words that we wrote. These are the words that have been given unto them. And therefore, I am in agreement with this. They're asking in my name. I support it as the high priest of this profession. And the Father says, that's good enough for me. Let it be done. And the answer is then delivered unto us. Now, when we go to God with these goofy, stupid prayers, you know, it was shared with me one time about a lady here that wanted a prayer that God would kill her husband because he was standing in the way of her ministry. She wasn't growing in the Lord. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you, God. I'm trying so hard to grow in you, Lord. But you know that this ugly dog husband that I've got, Father, he's hindering my growth in you. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you strike him dead. And the Father, he hears this and he's looking at this. Huh? And he looks over at Jesus. And Jesus is standing there. Giving it this. The Father says, are you sure she's one of ours? Jesus says, yeah, she's blood washed and all. She's got the Holy Ghost and one of ours. Well, where did she get this?
He's, I don't know. It's not in our word. We didn't give it.
Do you stand in agreement with that prayer?
Ain't no way, Father. I stand in agreement with that prayer right there. The Father says, I'm not acting on this thing. Because you're not in agreement. See?
There is strife between you and Jesus when you pray dumb things like that. I'll tell you another one. Oh God, please heal me. Father looks over at Jesus and says, Son, didn't you take stripes on your back? And Jesus says, Uh-huh. Didn't we say that by your stripes they were healed? That's what we said.
Awesome. Yes.
Son, do you come in agreement with this prayer? Father, I can't. We've already healed. Father says, I cannot answer that prayer. That prayer has already been answered 2,000 years ago when I whipped my boy. By his stripes, you were healed. See? And so there are times when we go to God and we ask things. God, give me the Holy Ghost. You've got the Holy Ghost. Remember the day of Pentecost? Yeah, I know, but I want the Holy Ghost. Are you saved? Yes. You've got the Holy Ghost. Now turn Him loose. Loose Him on the inside of you. Quit boxing Him in. When we pray in line with God's Word, we pray in accordance with His will. Then the high priest of our profession comes into agreement with our prayers because we're saying in Jesus' name, in the name of the high priest of my profession, in the name of the high priest of the confession of this prayer in accordance with His word, your will, Father, I present this thing to you and in Jesus' name, amen. And Jesus says, in my name, amen. And the Father says, be done. And it's answered. You say, well, that sounds too simple. Well, that's how it is. When you pray in accordance to His Word and to His will, see? It is that easy. And when you pray according to His Word and His will, you're going to have to believe that it's already done. Now look over in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and look in verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. Verse 23. No, verse 24. Mark 11, 24. Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When ye pray, believe ye receive them. It's easy to do that, or easier to do that, when you're praying in accordance with God's Word. But when you're praying outside of His Word, you can't believe that you receive because you're not going to receive. But when you pray in accordance with His Word, He says, believe that you receive them. Now, the Bible tells us that God will not withhold any good thing for us, or from us. He will not withhold any good thing from us. So, if we pray and ask in accordance with God's Word, we're asking a good thing. That means He will answer. When we pray, we can believe that we receive the answer at that moment. From that point forward, our conversation needs to be lined up with the fact that we believe we receive. If it doesn't, then we really don't believe God's answered the prayer. If we keep going back to God and praying the same thing and asking Him the same thing over and over and over and over and over, at what point do you go from asking to believing that you receive? At what point do you go from asking to the point of saying, God, I believe I receive in Jesus' name. I believe I receive. You don't have it. That's what the devil comes and tells you. Well, you don't have it. You say, hey, it doesn't make any difference. What you say, I have it in Jesus' name. That's just, you know, you can go to God and say, oh God, I pray God that we have 50 people show up every Sunday. At least 50 people show up every Sunday morning for church. Father, I'm asking that you direct those people in here, and in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray this. Amen. Now, you can go to God every week and pray that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bring in 50 people every, at least 50 people every Sunday morning in Jesus' name. Or, Father, thank you for those 50 people. At least 50 of them, Father. At least 100 of them, or at least whatever. I thank you for them, Father. And you can be talking to somebody else. How many did you have in church? Or how many you run? Oh, we're running 50. You say, you're running 50, man. There's only two cars in the parking lot. While the other 48 didn't show up. No, I prayed and I laid this thing before God, and I'm asking Him that we would have a minimum of 50 people every Sunday. And so that's what I'm believing. We have 50 people every Sunday. Oh, you're stupid. No, well, fine. Go on, live in defeat. I'm believing my God, and I'm believing His Word. Your conversation has to line up with what you believe you've received. If you don't believe you've received it, then you'll say, well, I hope I get. Well, I hope it happens. Well, I hope I see. Well, I hope God does. I hope He this. See, you don't believe. And that right there is going to hinder your prayer. Because Jesus said, whatever you desire, again, based on His Word, based on His will, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them. When you pray. When you pray. When you pray. You can pray and ask God to save old Uncle Joe every day. God save Uncle Joe. God save Uncle Joe. God save Uncle Joe. Why don't you start saying, God, I'm tired of praying for you to save Uncle Joe. Father, I'm thanking you now for Uncle Joe's salvation. I thank you that Uncle Joe is saved. I know he got drunk last night. I thank you, Father, he's saved in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for that. See, your conversation needs to change. And when Uncle Joe comes up in the conversation at the family, oh, drunk Uncle Joe, you know how he is, runs them bars, chases them women, wrecks them cars, old drunk Joe. Nope. I'm believing that Uncle Joe is saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, standing in the church with his hands raised up to God, praising my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I refuse to believe the report of his alcoholism, his lousy driving, and his woman chasing. In Jesus' name, Uncle Joe is saved! See? Believe that you receive. When you believe you receive, your conversation has to change about the thing you prayed about. Of course, if you don't believe that you receive, then I guess you keep praying and you keep asking. But Jesus said, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. And then right along with that, you're going to have to refuse to allow doubts and fears to enter into your thought life. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, when you pray, believe you receive, and ye shall have them. So that means that if you're allowing thoughts to work through your mind that don't line up or don't come into agreement that ye believe you receive when you pray, then this thought that's going through your mind is not to the obedience of Christ. Because Jesus said, believe you receive. See? And therefore, when you begin to think about the thing that you've prayed for, keep in mind that Satan's going to try to derail your faith with thoughts against God's Word. You're not healed. Look at you. You're a mess. You hurt. I mean, you just lost your lunch. Come on. You're not healed. No. Hey, it doesn't matter where my lunch is right now, Satan, in Jesus' name. I'm healed. I'm healed. He will try to mess up your thought life. Because he can get you into doubt and unbelief if he can get your thought life messed up. He'll try to derail your faith with thoughts against God's Word, you reinforce your prayers with your confession of faith and with the Word. The more you get into this Word, the more you're going to believe that what you pray is going to come to pass. You begin to see the prayers of these people in the Bible and how they prayed, God moved, and you think, how come God doesn't do that for me? Well, maybe they believed they received when they prayed. See, there's a big difference there. Dwell on the answer instead of the problem. If Uncle Joe's got a problem with alcohol, don't dwell on the problem with alcohol. Dwell on his deliverance. Think about his deliverance. Hey, he's not drunk on old Milwaukee. He's drunk on new wine. Hallelujah. That's how I'm going to think about Uncle Joe. That's my thought life concerning Uncle Joe. And you'll love him in line with that. Because the rest of the family doesn't want anything to do with Uncle Joe. Yeah, I know, Joe, you stink. Beer breath. Whew. But I love you anyway. Joe, you're alive in Jesus Christ. And Uncle Joe, he ain't going to know what you're talking about. But I'll tell you what, you start doing that, and your conversation with Uncle Joe, my heart, Jesus, deliver me. Jesus, set me free from this thing. Hallelujah. And guess what? Old Uncle Joe's going to be calling you first thing in the morning. Well, he might not wait till the morning. He might call you right then, 3 o'clock, and say, I just got saved. I just got saved. Jesus is in my heart. I know you were saved 10 months ago, Joe. You just didn't know it yet. Because I believed it at that moment, that the power of God was going to change your life. See your prayer answered. Envision him standing here in the church singing the praises. Standing up here singing a song, giving his testimony. See him lined up with the Word of God, because that's part of your answer right there. Envision him like that. It will change your perspective of Joe. And then praise God for your answered prayer. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Praise God for your answered prayer. See, you begin to praise Him. You begin to praise Him. You begin to praise Him. Stop asking. You've done asked all you need to ask. You've asked in Jesus' name. Now praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him for the answer. But I don't see it yet. Who cares whether you can see it yet or not? Praise Him anyway. Because you set things in motion in the realm of the Spirit with your prayers. You've exercised the name of Jesus. The devil can't stand up to that name. Begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him. Father, I thank You for the victory that the blood of Jesus Christ has bought in his life, purchased in her life. I thank You that she's delivered in the name of Jesus. Oh, I praise You, Jesus, hallelujah, for the healing. Oh, I give You glory. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, hallelujah. Give Him praise. Praise Him. Then do this. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Say you're praying for something specific. Believe in God for something specific. But we'll just identify finances. We'll just say finances. Find somebody with a similar need and intercede for them. Now see, you stop praying for yourself. Father, You know how much money is in the checkbook. You know how many bills there are. And Father, hey, I cannot squeeze it out of a rock, but I can get it from my rock, the rock of my salvation. So, Father, I cast the care of all this over on You. Then you find somebody who's in a similar situation. Intercede for them. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, you've taken your problem, you've cast the care of it over onto the Lord, and it's settled as far as you're concerned. I know the circumstances don't look like it, but as far as you're concerned, it's settled. Because you've cast it over onto the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and now you're praising Him, and you're thanking Him. But you find somebody else. Father, I lift up Susie. Oh, man. she's having some financial problems, Father. I mean, God, she lost her job and she got behind on her car payments. And Father, I stand in the gap for Susie right now in the name of Jesus. I lift her financial situation up to you, Father. Oh, Father, I know you've already dealt with mine. As far as I'm concerned, mine's it's over and done with. It's settled. And I thank you for that, Father. Oh, but Father, Susie needs your help right now. Father, I know she's out looking for a job. Give her peace of mind, Father, that she's going to find that job. Father, give her peace of mind that she can turn all these financial cares and worries over onto you. See, you begin to intercede for somebody else. What do? You are sowing into the realm of the Spirit the very thing that you need to manifest in the natural for you. So you're interceding for her. You're praying for somebody else. And I tell you what, things begin to happen. Got a lost family member? You start praying for a lost family member belongs to somebody else's family. Father, I cast Billy Bob over to you. Now let me pray for, Ellie Mae over here. She needs Jesus. So you begin to pray and intercede for somebody else. You're sowing to the Spirit. And you're going to begin to reap that kind of a harvest. And last but not least, and I know you knew I wasn't going to leave this one out, pray in the Holy Ghost. You knew I wouldn't leave that out. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Glory. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He's talking both here about praying with the understanding and praying in the Spirit. Praying with the understanding and praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues. That's what he's talking about here. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8. Flip over there. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen, I'll give you a good example. Well, no, I'll give you the example in just a moment. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying about something that otherwise you don't know how to pray about it. You can only pray about things for so long. Somebody comes up to the altar for healing. I've been to the doctors. They've tested and they've done this and they've poked and they've prodded and I've done all that. And they still can't find out what the problem is. But I hurt. I ache. I feel sick. And I just, would you please pray for me? Well, yeah, we'll pray for you. Anoint you with oil. We'll lay hands. We'll pray for you. But I'm going to tell you what. Our praying in the natural with the understanding is only going to go so far with that. Now, we can declare the word and so on and so forth, and I'm not belittling that at all. But I'm going to tell you what, when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit over that person, over that condition, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's wrong with that person, knows exactly what affliction is trying to lay a hold of that person's body. And you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit over that person, and you don't even have to do it when you're laying hands on them. You can be at home in your prayer closet and you say, Father, I lift up Betsy to you right now. The doctors don't know what's wrong, but God, you know what she's going through in her body. Father, we've anointed her with oil. We've spoken the word of healing over her. We laid hands on her. We prayed the prayer of faith. And Father, I believe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, she's healed. But Father, I'm praying in the Spirit for her now. And you begin to pray in the Spirit over her. And you're praying something you don't understand with your natural mind. Direction in ministry. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He understands God's perfect will for you. And so when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, Father, I only know so much about what you've called me to do, but I can't see beyond this point right here. But you know the beginning from the end. And so, Father, I lift this thing up to you right now, and in Jesus' name, and you just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit over that. And I'm going to give you just a couple of other things here, real briefly. Let me tell you what. I was going to give you an illustration. I'll give it to you now. I met somebody. We'll call this somebody Bob. I met Bob, and Bob's one of these kind of people, when you meet Bob gives you the impression that Bob is real spiritual, real mighty in God. Bob gives you the impression that he has a mastery of the Word and can reel off a lot of verses. And Bob professes to be a real, you know, mighty warrior of faith, a mighty warrior of prayer, a mighty warrior of the Word, and on and on and on. Well, I was talking with Bob, and Bob said, "Man, all these problems, I don't understand. You know, I've got problems in my ministry, and I got problems with this, and all this, and it's been going on for so long. I just, I've spoken the Word, and you know, I've prayed in Jesus' name." And I said, "Well, Bob, are you praying in the Holy Ghost?" And all of a sudden, it got real quiet. No, I guess I'm not really doing that too much. Which really surprised me. Because, you know, you can say, well, maybe Bob just didn't understand. Well, no, if you'd hang around Bob, you'd understand that Bob, you know, like I said, gives you this impression of being somebody mighty in the Word of God, got all the answers, or sometimes thinks has all the answers. And I said, well, you know, you really need to pray in the Holy Spirit, because you're describing some problems and you're telling me you don't know all the answers to the problems. And you said you've prayed everything you know how to pray. And yet the Word of God says that if we pray in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit prays through us the perfect will of God, because you don't know how to, but the Spirit does. Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess maybe that's something I ought to do. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Bob. You ain't going to do it. Because you don't believe that it's going to happen. You know, that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Wants you to believe that you're just rambling off, it doesn't mean a thing, because you don't understand what you're saying, therefore, it can't mean anything important, because if it was really something important, you'd know exactly what you were saying. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Not spiritually speaking. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost through you is filling in the gaps of your prayer, because you don't know what to pray for. I'll give you a couple of other things that praying in the Spirit will do. You can look these up later. There's a list. I'm going to tell you what. I went through the New Testament looking. I read through the whole New Testament being sensitive to anything that would indicate a relationship to praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what I've got so far. You didn't know all that was in there. That's just the New Testament. And it doesn't yet include Matthew, Mark, or Luke, because I'm going to go back through that again. You say, oh, you mean that much is in there? Yeah, that much is in there. How come I've never seen it? Who doesn't want you to see it? That's right. Because He knows if you get a hold of the power that you release when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're going to be such a spiritual dynamo. He can't do anything to you. Listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, praying in the Holy Spirit strengthens us in the power of God's might to stand against all satanic attacks. All of them. Not just one or two, but every single one. It reveals the wiles of the devil or his plans or his devices, reveals those things to us, and clothes us in the armor of the Lord. All that through praying in the Spirit. Jude chapter 20 tells us that praying in the Holy Ghost builds our faith, and that goes right along with 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, which says that we edify ourselves. You pray in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. And that's... I mean, what more would you need? Building your faith, edifying yourself, clothing yourself in the armor of God, standing up to every single attack of the enemy, understanding his wiles and his devices, they'll be revealed to you spiritually. Praying in a way that you don't understand how to pray for things. And there's so much more. Church, we've been lied to when it comes to praying in the Holy Spirit. I am waiting for when the Holy Ghost takes us as a church to the point to where we get into a study, an in-depth study, of the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily, you know, the ministry office gets, because when you start talking, a lot of these places, you hear people teach on, you know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and they talk about the apostle, the prophet, and all that other. And yeah, that's a part of it, but I'm talking about going into an area of understanding our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because there is so much. He has shown me so much in His Word about our relationship with the Holy Spirit and the fact... Remember how Jesus ministered when He was here on the earth. Read about it in the four Gospels. And how He was with the disciples and all the other people. And we think, boy, that was neat. But remember what He said. It is expedient for you that I leave. Why in the world would it be expedient for Him to leave? Because you see, He did die, but He did raise up from the dead. And so He was with them. But yet He said, it's expedient for you that I leave. Why? So that the Holy Ghost can come. Wait a minute, Jesus. You're telling me that it's more important for the Holy Ghost to be here than for you? Uh-huh. It's more important for you that the Holy Ghost comes, because the Holy Ghost is the one who is going to dwell in you. I'm with you, but the Holy Ghost is going to be the one who's going to dwell in you. He will baptize you with power and with fire. That's why it's expedient for you that I leave. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit. We're going to do something to close this out tonight. Michael's going to be passing something out to you. We are going to pray God's Word. Keep this. Make this a part of your prayer. Make this a part of your confession if you want to when you pray. In this, you're going to see passages identified by book, chapter, and verse in parentheses. As we read this, ignore that. Don't read it out loud. It's only there for you to look up later, and you can compare in the Word what's put in here. Because we hear a lot about, well, you know, include the Word of God in your prayers and in your confession. But honestly, sometimes don't we feel like that's a little bit overwhelming? Because there's so much in here, it's like, how in the world do I include this in my prayer and my confession? I really don't understand. Here's an example. You can change this to refer to your family or as you and as an individual for your kids or whatever. But this is directed for this church. Now I want you to read this out loud with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over my church and the people who are a part of it. Lord, You are our shepherd. We do not want. You make us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. You restore our soul. We follow You in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. For You are with us. Your rod and Your staff comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cups run over. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of You, Lord, You are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in You we trust. Surely You shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with Your feathers, and under Your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. We are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord, which is our refuge, even the Most High, our habitation, there shall no evil befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwellings. For You give Your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon we trample under our feet. because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment, you shall condemn. This is our heritage as servants of the Lord, and you have said that our righteousness is of you. For this cause I bow my knee unto you, Father, and to you, Lord Jesus Christ, of whom our whole church family is named, that you grant unto us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with all might by your Spirit in the inner man, that the anointing of Jesus dwell mightily in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. For this cause I do not cease to pray for my church, and desire that we shall be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy of you, Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto you, Father, who has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Now unto you, who does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us, unto you be glory in our church forever, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus.